got this in pocket. Got that though. I'm gonna use it. Intention.
Well, the sun wound up coming out a little yesterday afternoon and helped eliminate a little extra snow that might have been in the shadows. It's not entirely gone, but a good chunk of it from Thanksgiving long weekend now that arrived has disappeared. Normal high is about 11 degrees this time of the year. Only a few days ago, Saturday, I think it was, what, 23 degrees? And the sunshine, and now... Well, probably falling short of even the normal of 11 for the rest of the week and even into the coming weekend. I got everything taken care of as far as fall projects, like, you know, to put away the patio furniture, drain the water lines and all that kind of stuff. Got all that done, but the leaves. Never rake the leaves. But might be too wet the next few days here, as you heard. Some rain coming off and on throughout the next few days. Maybe some wet flurries. I don't know why they throw wet flurries in. It's going to be 10 degrees today. Maybe early this morning, if at all, or later tonight. I don't know, but it's in the forecast. Someone asked me yesterday here at work if I bought any Halloween candy yet. The answer is no. Two reasons. I'd eat it too quickly if it were in the house. And secondly, I really have noticed, and I spoke of this a little yesterday, it's more expensive than it normally is. And they're blaming higher cocoa costs for the increase in those mini chocolate bars. They said many chip bag portions are down 10 to 20%. And yeah, Halloween candy's gone up in price from where it was last year. Google released a list of the top trending Halloween costumes. And really, it's dominated by characters from the movie I've not yet seen on Netflix, K-pop Demon Hunters. It's all the rage. If you have kids, you probably know a lot about it. But yeah, K-pop Demon Hunters take up the entire top five as far as costumes go. Chicken Jockey from Minecraft is popular for kids. The number one duo costume is Astrid and Hiccup from How to Train Your Dragon. And Kiss is trending in Halloween makeup. Number one trend in Halloween makeup is Kiss right now, according to Google. Man, when I was a kid, obviously I was a member of the Kiss Army. We went as Kiss a number of times at Halloween. Oh, this is cool, too. The top trending decoration is floating candles. I saw these start to make the rise last year a little, and now they're all the rage this year. But really what they are is they're battery-operated candles that look like they flicker, of course. They're fake. And these invisible strings. So you can tack them to your ceiling, like Creatro and Harry Potter scene with floating candles. That's a big Halloween decoration this year. And of course, those ginormous skeletons that Home Depot sells. Hey, coming up later this morning, we're headed to the Great Pumpkin Patch near Davidson to hear how the Bender family made out. They were on my show a few weeks ago, Tara Lee Bender, telling me about how she's trying to grow some massive pumpkins. And she texted me and said, hey, I've got my final... weigh in on my pumpkin. We'll find out how she did. I don't expect it to be anything like this guy in California who just won a pumpkin growing contest in the U.S. in California. 2,346-pound pumpkin. This guy isn't even a farmer or a heavy gardener. He's an electrical engineer who just does this as a hobby, growing large pumpkins.
I was in this position last year, but I lost by 6 pounds. This year I was able to take the win, and that's really what the goal was this year, was to win one of the best, if not the best, pumpkin weigh-offs in the world.
Now, that guy in California, his pumpkin, as I said, 2,346 pounds. I don't know what he was doing, because the second place pumpkin came at a 2,017 pounds, so quite the difference. But again, we're going to see how big Tara Lee Bender's pumpkin got near Davidson after the 6:30 news this morning. And if you've ever been to Wadena, you probably heard about the Wadena Bakery, right? Their famous Boston creams. Well, I guess after 68 years, the original owners of the bakery are handing their oven mitts over to some new owners. And we'll be going to the bakery to say goodbye to them with reporter Jillian Massey a bit later in the show this morning, too. Traffic moving at Sass Drive and Broad. Easy again this morning after a car crash yesterday really shut down that intersection for hours. Some of you wondering what it was all about. Police say a vehicle hit another at Sass Drive and Broad, and then accelerated the wrong way down Sass Drive, rolling in front of a parking garage there. And one person was trapped inside, sent to hospital, minor injuries, but apparently charges are pending on that. Yes, indeed. They will stay with us. Rider Nation, big news, 2-year extension for the general manager and the head coach. First up, Corey Mays spoke about his time here in Regina as coach and what it means to him.
The people of Saskatchewan have been nothing but plush to our family. Even, you know, yesterday, you know, my boy Chewy out there at his first, you know, hockey practice, and, you know, all the neighbors and stuff helping this guy. I know nothing about hockey and just getting us all geared up. And, I mean, everybody's just been first class here. And it feels like an extended family. And that's big for us.
Coach loves living here. He's happy for another 2 years. So is Jeremy O'Day.
Been here for quite some time. And you know, my whole family's raised here. And it's pretty special for me to be able to receive the extension. Like I said, I'm just, you know, truly honored to continue to represent the team.
Jamie and I in the Green Zone kind of touched on this yesterday a little, too, how, man, winning sure erases the haters, right? Remember Jeremy O'Day? All the haters that were coming out of the Green Zone, but now 12-4, not so much. So 2-year contract there as preparations for the game against the Bombers continues again today. Hey, it's the end of an era. However, the work's going to continue at the iconic Wadena Bakery, but as our reporter Jillian Massey found out, the family who originated it all is handing their aprons over after making millions of Boston creams. It's time to hand over the aprons.
The customer's list of goodies will stay the same.
Do you have a go-to item that you get every single time?
Apple fritters and triple chocolate chunk brownies.
But two of the people behind the Wadena Bakery counter will soon say farewell. The shop has been in Steve and Margaret Suick's family for 68 years. But now they're hanging up their aprons for good with new owners at the helm.
It's very emotional.
It's been good to us. We've had a good life here.
Steve's father, Leo, started running the store after settling the former baker's debts.
The individual that had been running it had gotten into some financial difficulties, and in exchange for paying the former baker's flour bill, they moved us pretty lock, stock, and barrel from Delisle to here to take over the operation here.
Leo and his wife had come from Holland and brought his experience working as a baker with him, skills he got while serving as a veteran in the Dutch Army. Steve says he and his wife bought the bakery when his dad wanted to retire, and it's risen in popularity.
We knew the business and what it was capable of, and if my dad had seen where we were today with the business, I think he would have been pretty proud.
The bakery has brought in donut diehards from coast to coast, with people lining up down the block for a chance to taste one of their Boston creams.
How many Boston creams do you think you've made in your years of baking?
It's got to be a few million, probably.
Filling the donuts is something Margaret won't miss.
Some days it seems like they're never ending. You can start, let's say, 6 o'clock, they'd be starting to fry, 5:30 or 6. And when it's busy, we can still be finishing off around noon.
Marion Jackson says she always stops in the store when traveling from Ontario.
Oh, every time I come to visit family, I come in here because everything is excellent. There's no failures, perfect every time.
Like Steve's dad, the new owners came to Canada looking for opportunity. Rakesh and Malik Patel say they want to continue with the legacy the Suick family started.
Yeah, I am very happy for the business.
And they have two good teachers. Both Margaret and Steve are planning on staying a few more months to show them their secrets. Just like the bread, the bakery's always been a place where opportunity can rise. In Wadena, Jillian Massey, 980, CJME.
Oh, now I'm hungry for one of those Boston creams. Thanks, Jillian. Well, coming up, we're going to talk Blue Jays, Kevin Martell ahead. But of course, There's also the NL side, too. The defending champion Dodgers are heading back now to California after they now have a 2-0 lead over Milwaukee. They beat the Brewers 5-1 last night. It is a must-win for the Blue Jays, though, tonight in Seattle. Oh, man. After an exciting round against the Yankees, you think they got to have something left to pull out a victory tonight. But more on that coming up with Kevin Martell.
See you dance again because I'm still in love with you. On this harvest.
Yeah, harvest across Saskatchewan pretty much wrapped up by now, I would think. It was well over 93% last crop report at the end of last week. So hoping it's nearly done for you. But of course, the work never stops on the farm after harvest, anyhow. But you know, this week we are welcoming the host of Real Ag on the Weekend, Mr. Sean Haney, to become a regular weekly guest, as we revealed yesterday. We are now presenting Sean in an Ag Minute daily, weekdays. Here to explain how he feels about this, and we'll talk a little about EV tariffs on canola as well. Mr. Sean Haney, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be here.
It's nice to hear you. Every day, weekdays, you're going to bring us something we need to know in the ag world. What sort of subjects are you going to tackle?
Well, you know, we've been doing Real Ag on the Weekend for quite some time across Saskatchewan, and just kind of felt that, why wait to the weekend, right? Why not just every weekday bring some commentary? Because there's so much happening right now in the world of agriculture. Really take the opportunity, a minute every single day, to provide some perspective and make sure people are up to date on what is happening in the industry of agriculture, because the industry of ag is so critical to the economy of Saskatchewan. So I think everyone's really going to enjoy it, and we're going to have some fun. We're going to talk trade, we'll talk economics, we'll talk about what's going on the farm and the ranch, and really try to break it down for everybody.
Sean, I know you're constantly circling back and forth through the Western Prairies here. Summarize the year in crops this year. How did the fields look, and what are farmers telling you?
Yeah, so I think, you know, overall, there is concern about profitability in the cropping sector, for sure. There's obviously a lot of trade challenges when it comes to exports to China, as everybody is very well aware of. But when we think from an agronomic perspective, the yields were pretty good. You think about what happened in 2024. We started out really well. A crop like canola really disappointed in the back end of the year as we got into harvest because of the hot, dry weather. This year is kind of the opposite. We started out not the greatest, and Mother Nature came through with some timely rains. And I would say most farmers would say average yield to above average in some cases, and some people really happy with some of their yields out in the fields.
Sean Haney, my guest, hosted the Real Ag Minute now. Weekdays, you're going to hear it every day. Sean, I talked to a few of my farming friends, and they had adjusted. Less canola. Did you hear a lot of that happening this year, too?
Yeah, acres were down in Western Canada. Although, you know, if you look at some of the breakdowns on the profit and loss statements, canola was one of the better performing crops from a profit loss standpoint because of how strong the yields were. So, you know, I was talking to a grower yesterday who actually regretted planting less canola and wish he would have maybe put a little bit more in the ground than ended up deciding to do so. It'll be a big question, the 26 crop. What happens with acres, especially if this China tariff issue continues? We're really going to need things like new trade customers, as well as obviously maybe potentially an increased amount of canola going into something like renewable diesel in the biofuel market, where we've got, you know, considerable crush capacity being expanded in Saskatchewan.
As we are literally, no pun intended, being crushed with this canola tariff, it really does not seem like there's any end in sight at the moment there, does it?
No, there's not really a path right now. The issue is definitely not as simple as just lifting those EV tariffs. That is, there's no surety that would result in the lifting of the canola tariffs by China. And also, you know, those EV tariffs are in place because of working with the White House, who we are currently trying to also finding a calmer trade environment. So Canada really, really playing a game here of trying to get to the other side of this without any sort of trade casualty, or at least limit some of the loss. When it comes to those canola tariffs, it really feels sort of like what we've seen with beef ever since that atypical case of BSE going back, 4 years now. We still have challenges with China on that. So I would not expect a real quick resolution here.
Well, we always like the ag information you give us. I have to admit, it was a pretty cool tribute in Montreal last night for their season opener. They played a video to remember goalie great Ken Dryden, and it lasted about 2.5 minutes, and then the crowd just went nuts cheering, chanting. As the video ends, a spotlight shows his famous red, white, and blue mask sitting on top of the net under a spotlight in the arena. And it's just a marvelous moment. And kudos to whoever thought of putting his mask lit under a spot like that on the net with no other goaltender standing there. And the crowd saw it after the video and just erupted. And I don't know how long that ovation was, but it had to have been 5 or 6 minutes long. It was pretty incredible. Canadians would go on to beat Seattle 5-4 in overtime. Leafs were winners, too, over Nashville. Calgary lost again, this time to the Knights, and the Oilers shut out New York at home 2-0. The Rangers have now made NHL history in the worst way, going scoreless in their first three games at Madison Square Garden. So I watched that game last night as an Oilers fan, and yeah, the fans do not have much to cheer about in New York right now. They were a little owly. Jays are in tough tonight, down 2 to the Mariners. Jamie Campbell from Sportsnet, who sits on the panel of the Blue Jays broadcast, weighed in on our Green Zone yesterday on whether or not this team has what it takes to pull through.
Given that the Blue Jays over the course of the season were the champions of the comeback, perhaps, you know, a three-game sweep in Seattle is what's in store. And that's the greatest thing about this team. I have enjoyed this ride immensely, in part due to the fact that they are so unpredictable. Yes, they looked extraordinarily awful over two games at home, which was both stunning and sad all at the same time, especially after the first batter to the plate for the Blue Jays in the first game. George Springer hits a home run to give his team the lead, and then it was kind of downhill from there. What we've learned about this team is that there's a resilience there that we hope is flexed over the next 3 days. And as I've said to the people close to me who are as down as it appears some of the people around your studio are, imagine if they sweep all three in Seattle and come back for a Sunday nighter at the Rogers Center with a chance to win the series.
Only three teams have lost the first two games at home, only to come back and win the best of seven. So there is a chance. Blue Jays fans keeping the faith as well. Shem Parkinson, a huge Jays fan, he thinks they might have enough to climb out of the hole.
I mean, I really think we had a real emotional high with the Yankees. That was like our World Series, and then being down 0-2 is rough. In the first series, our bats were loud as ever, right? Vladdy was hitting, Springer was hitting, everybody was hitting, doing really well. And then I don't know what it is about Seattle. And again, these are home games for us, right? It's not like we're playing on the West Coast at the time. This is not good being in this hole right now. We're just not living up to what we did in the first round against the Yankees, and it's really depressing because I can tell you the energy in this city, Rogers Center is absolutely packed. There's a lot of enthusiasm for this team. We're all a little bit sad that we're down right now, but I still think that people feel like this team is resilient enough. We got a bunch of very blue-collar guys on this team, and I think people feel like, you know what, we're down, but we're not out.
There you go. Blue Jays fan in Toronto, Shem Parkinson. He's got a little bit of hope there, and I mentioned this yesterday. The Jays have faced a lot of adversity, and hey, they had that stretch where they lost 6 out of 7 in the last week of the regular season. They found a way to win the last four and win the division. Who knows what might happen? But tonight, it is definitely a must-win. Coming up after the 6:30 news this morning, we are headed to the Great Pumpkin Patch near Davidson to hear about Tara Lee Bender's family. They were growing some massive pumpkins, and I just wanted to find out how large they got. So Tara Lee will stop by after the 6:30 news and share. She has two that were rocking over a few hundred pounds. We'll find out exactly to see how big they got in just a few moments. CJME News Time now is 6:27.